superheroes, and they're always trying to find themselves, they're always trying to figure themselves out, and having the right moral code. They never really fit in, but they always figure out how to make it work. And everyone, I believe everyone has a superpower, and you got to just kind of figure out what it is and unlock it one way or another.
Welcome to the Social Ray Podcast, where we highlight inspiring entrepreneurs and social media influencers who've used social media successfully to build their business and follow their passions. Discover the mindsets, strategies, and advice that will help you take your business to the next level. Now, here's your host, Raymond On.
Hey guys, what's up? In this episode, I talk with Andy Nguyen, who's one of the founders of After's Ice Cream. And he's also the founder of many other companies in the food industry. But you know, but growing up, he wasn't always this business-minded person. He was actually a rebel, a misfit. He got kicked out of school. He was just trying to figure out his own path in life, trying to figure out, you know, what's his purpose, trying to figure out, you know, what is he supposed to do with his life, and trying to figure out his superpower. You know, in our interview, Andy talks about how he believes each of us has a superpower, and it's up to us to find it and, you know, give it into the world and contribute and give back. So you're going to hear about Andy's story of how he found his superpower of, you know, bringing people together, of, you know, finding things that are not conventional and making it popular. And you're also going to hear about just the ways that he was able to make, you know, After so successful, as well as so many other businesses he made successful as well. So I hope you guys enjoy this interview with Andy, that you learn a lot from this interview. And also, I wrote a free ebook teaching you guys how to grow your Instagram the long and short way. And this is from my experience over 2 years of growing Instagram, you know, growing over 600,000 followers, growing my own personal page, Ray.on, to over 50,000 followers. So hope it provides some value to you guys, and you guys can keep in touch with me through email that way. So make sure to check it out. It's in the show notes. And I hope you guys enjoy this interview I did with Andy. Andy, thanks for coming on the interview. And I just want to give a quick background of who you are to my audience. So you're one of the founders of After's Ice Cream, and that's a very popular ice cream, you know, dessert place that a lot of people go to in Orange County. You started off in Orange County, right?
Yeah, born and raised out here.
Yeah, so kind of like you scaled and you even served at Coachella, and I remember the first Coachella that they ever served at, they were so packed that they're actually understaffed, and you know, there's more people waiting for their, you know, ice cream than waiting for artists.
Yeah, some of the artists. Shows, yeah, it's crazy.
So it's pretty crazy. So I just kind of want them to know, and you run a lot of other businesses, so
right, yeah,
around food. So I kind of want you to give them a background of like where you grew up and like what your background was and how you got into, like what you're doing before and how you got into all of this.
Okay. I was born and raised out here in Orange County. My entire life, I grew up in the city of Westminster. If you've ever been around Westminster, you know that's like all Vietnamese people. The schools I went to around here were half Vietnamese, half mixed, a lot of Mexicans. I've always been an outcast among that group. I've always been like the weird, rebellious one. Always a little weird and awkward. I didn't speak my first word until I was like 4 years old. So I'm always like a thinker inside, like thinking things before I say things. Troublemaker. Got arrested, fights, hung out with wrong people, got kicked out of school. Before I turned 14. At that moment, you know, I knew like I needed to figure something out. I can't keep going this route. I don't want to go this route. I want to be a bad person. So I had to think back to what I wanted to do, who I am. You know, I thought back to the superheroes, and they're always trying to find themselves, they're always trying to figure themselves out, and having the right moral code. They never really fit in, but they always figure out how to make it work. And everyone, I believe everyone has a superpower, and you got to just kind of figure out what it is and unlock it one way or another. So like I kind of just redefined myself as I came back into my high school. Being home that whole year, my sophomore year, I was home every single day. I learned pretty much a lot about myself. I learned about who I wanted to be. Picked up a lot, expressed a lot of the culture. You know, I came back as a completely different kid. I was like involved in everything, participated in all the clubs, I was like the school dancer. I was like, let's get better grades. You know, I was in choir. I was like everything I could be involved in. I participated because I wanted to have a different experience. So I graduated. I happened to graduate, and I was really happy with my last 2 years. But then I can't go to any college because I got kicked out of school. So I went to community college, and like community college is completely different because you're not around your same group of friends anymore. And I got stuck in this weird field again. I was like, I don't want to fall back into that. So I need to figure something out real quick. One of my best friends, he just dropped out of school 6 months into college. He's like, this isn't for me. I'm out of here. So he went and started doing real estate appraisal. And a year into it, you know, he started doing pretty well. And he's like, meeting him with driving one day. He's like, you should join me and start our own company. I was like, what do you mean you start a company? We're only 18 years old. It's not possible, right? Like, is that a real thing? Like, I've never heard of that before at my age. And I was like, okay, you can make a lot of money doing this, going to real estate. I was like, shit, I don't know anything about real estate, but I'll give it a try. So I told my parents I was just, you know, do real estate and stay at school at the same time. I didn't tell them I dropped out, so I said that they wouldn't kill me. So I took my real estate classes. I got my real estate license, my real estate appraisal license. I was the only one of my group of friends that got it. Started making a lot of money early on. And what I learned was I fucking hated it. This shit sucks. I don't care how much money I'm making. This is whack. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even know why any person would allow me to do this job because I have no passion for it. This isn't something I would be doing because I don't even own a house at the time. I was still a kid. My friend was starting a clothing brand at that same time frame, and he asked me to do a photo shoot, and I was like, not a model. He said, I'll give you free clothes. Shit, yeah, I'll do free clothes. I'm down. After the photo shoot, he's like, you know, you guys need to get an office. And he's like, I need to get an office too, so let's share it together. So once we were sharing the office, like, you know, I'd be there every day paying attention to what he did. And I was like, this is way cooler than what I'm doing. I was like, you're not making no money, but I'd rather be doing this than what I'm doing now.
What did you like about it?
I always enjoyed fashion. I enjoyed hip hop culture. I enjoyed like blending things together. My high school, I was named the school's best dress, so you know, like, I had a thing for clothing. So I was just attracted to what he's doing, like building a startup brand and designing and being creative, like, you know, having a creative outlet. That's what I enjoyed. This is what I want to do. I don't want to sit into a business where I'm driving around measuring houses and take pictures. So I was like, it's not me. It's not creative. It's not unique. So he was about to start a new clothing brand. The brand's called, it was called Arisu. And I asked him, can I invest my money into your brand? And he told me, no. I said, why not? He's like, I have some money, I can help fund the business. He's like, I don't think you're ready for it. So I was like, fine, I'll just help out and learn what I need to learn for now. So I went to the trade shows and start, you know, networking and meeting people and seeing how he was doing things, how he was growing his brand. And then...
Well, why do you think he said you're not ready?
I don't think he knew that I had the ability to do all that. In his field, he's like, "Yo, you're in real estate. Why would you go into fashion? Like, this is not the easy industry. You don't know what you're doing. You get eaten alive." For me, you know, I was like, "I can do this. I think I can do it better than you can." So I went. I was like, "Okay." I went back to my best friend, my partner, and I told him, "I was like, hey, start our own brand." So we came up with this idea. We named the brand Imaginary Kingdom.
Yeah.
And you break the words down, Imaginary Kingdom, and you'll see the words of the king in there. So we created this brand called I'm King in 2006.
Why did that name
then? Well, for us, the Magic Kingdom, the kingdom, for me, you refer to as your brain, the most valuable thing you own. It's your kingdom right there. That's where all your ideas come from. You get the Magic Kingdom. When you break the words, I'm King, that means about being a leader, about being a large force to the community, about bringing change. That's what I'm King was about. We launched that in 2007, our first season. Did the trade show route. Tough in the beginning, like, you know, people didn't understand what we were trying to do. A lot of the brands were, it was like high school being in the streetwear industry. Everyone has their little cliques, like Orange County had their clique, LA brands had their clique. So it was really tough to break through. Mm-hmm. You know, but we always try to do our own route. We had our pieces were loud, our pieces had a lot of our personality in it. We always work within the community and vlogging and sharing a lot of our stories every single day. So people, whether we're doing things right or wrong, or we're still sharing it on our blog, people are tuning into that. Became like, you know, like they started understanding what we're about. We started developing our own style. We're carrying stores like Zumiez, Tilly's, AXA, Carmelou. Oh. And we're doing really well for 6-7 years. But after a while, you know, clothing industry is a crazy game. It's like this, this, and like that. To break through, you need to build relationships, you need to build your niche, and it's all about timing. You see a lot of brands that come and go all day long. Like, this is way too crazy. And I'm not enjoying the trade show circuit, but I'm on to something else.
No, I remember on your story, you posted about like YG and Chance the Rapper rocking your stuff, and more, Justin Bieber.
That's so, not
like,
that long. That's, yeah, but remember, like, a few years ago, crazy, yeah. A lot of people don't know who, they did not know who that's they were. Crazy, yeah. And we were already eyeballing them because we're like, that's the talent right there. Because we're like, these guys are going to blow up. So we're, you know, we're like, we're prospecting, like, okay, we're releasing all these guys up. Someone's going to be amazing. You know, who knew Kendrick was going to be like one of the greatest, you know? Like, he was running around my office all the time, grabbing clothes and stuff. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Hey, get out. They stop grabbing all the clothes. You know? Like, you don't know. You don't know they're going to blow up. These guys just chilling with us all the time.
Do you still, like, keep in touch with them?
Keep in touch with all their management still, just for different things, just in case we want to work with them in the future. We still have ties to them.
And then, you know, you talked earlier about, like, finding your superpower, like, each of us, because I believe that, too. I think, you know, each of us has a skill or talent that, like, we're naturally just, like, gifted at, and a lot of us think, like, we try to follow school and the whole system, and we think, if I'm not good at math, English, or science, then I suck at life, you know? Like, that's not true at all. Like, you have some skill, you just gotta find it. So, like, for you, when was that point for you, and what was it?
You know, it took me a long time to really understand what I was really good at. Even during until I became days, like, it took me a long time to figure out, like, what am I good at here? Like, I had to be the leader of the company already, but I didn't like that role. So I was like, okay, what am I really good at? I'm really good at building the network. I'm really good at connecting the dots. I'm really good at bringing people together and kind of pulling out the talent out of them and bring the best out of them. We have done it time and time again right now. Gather talent, put them together. It's like a game of chess, and I've been able to play it really well and tie the groups and take them to a different level.
So like, that is being a leader, though. Yeah. That is leading the team, bringing out the best. So, and like, what did your parents think about all this as like Asian American? You know, it's like, they want you to be a doctor or like lawyer. Like, what are their dreams?
That's all they knew. Yeah, that's all they knew.
What did they say about when you were doing all this different stuff? Okay. Like, what are you doing?
They thought, obviously, you're an Asian kid. Okay, remember, I got kicked out of school, okay?
Yeah.
I'm Asian.
Yeah.
I'm failing math. I'm born here. I'm failing English. That's a bad sign with an Asian family already. So I completely, the only two classes I was passing were basketball and choir, and that doesn't really require very much. My parents were pissed. You know, they're like, "How? What's wrong with you? There's something. Like, there's no way. Like, we're hiring tutors. We're taking you to all these classes. You can't get your grades up. Something's not clicking." You know, I think after when I first did real estate, they're like, crazy. Like, why would you do that? You know, you're young. Like, go to school. You know, went to clothing. They're like, no way. Like, how are you supposed to make money in clothing? Like, how do you even build a brand? And, you know, they don't understand the retailer stuff. And then, even when I started ice cream, they're like, how are you supposed to make money in an ice cream store? You know, like, it's like, they didn't get it. But, you know, over time, you know, now it's a different place of time. They get it now. They go, okay, he's not the norm. You know, he's definitely not like the rest of their friends' children.
Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of, like Asian kids, especially, like, because I grew up Asian American, and like it came from my grandparents. Like, they wanted my dad to be a dentist and then be safe, and like my dad wanted that, so he, you know, spent most of his life doing that. But then for me, it was like, I don't want to spend like 10 years of my life studying something I don't like to just make money, you know, kind of like how you were in real estate for a while. And so, like, what would you say to those kids who know what they want, or like who maybe don't even know, but like their parents are like, just go this path, you know? Like, I think you should respect your parents, you know, like,
I still respect them in terms of that, but like in terms of like my work, my future, you know, I know what they want most is for you to be like successful, taken care of in the long run. Once they can get understand that, they'll be more accepting. So the next generations, like, you have to follow your passion, and your passion does change over time. You know, like, if you asked me 4 years ago, you were working food, I'd laugh at you. It's crazy. There's no way I'm working in food. You know, I thought I was going to be in clothing forever, but now I'm in the food industry and I'm loving it. Mm-hmm. And just gotta kind of follow your intuition, mm-hmm. and change your approach along the way. And as you get older, you have new hobbies and new interests, and kind of just follow that and see what happens.
So how did what was that point you switched from like clothing to ice cream?
Yeah. So while I was doing clothing, I was traveling a lot for trade shows and whatnot. So I noticed a lot of these unique ice cream stores over there. They had a lot of cool, interesting flavors. I'm like, this is different. Like, we don't have, there's nothing like this in North Carolina. We got Baskin Robbins, we got Thirsty, we got like your Haagen-Dazs, which are good ice cream. It's not unique. I can do this, I can do a lot better. Just like, the same thing on my clothing right now, I can do that a lot better, I can do it my own way. So, and I had this idea. At first I was trying to open a store in Santa Ana. I was trying to have like the ice cream store in front and the Ivy King store hidden in the back. And I started pitching a lot of my other friends. It's like, dude, I don't have time for this. So here's an idea, you should do this ice cream store and open it up. They're like, okay, whatever. And for 2 years, I kind of threw that idea around, kept talking about it like time and time again. And one of my friends that I hung out with, I know it's in second grade, we were talking about it. He had a similar idea. He wanted to do a dessert shop. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do an ice cream store. So we kept talking about it. And we're like, let's just do it. Let's just open this ice cream store. Mm-hmm. So we tried to buy the store out and open our first locations. Mm-hmm. And we launched in Cotton Valley and created this crazy.
Yeah. You had like interesting flavors too, right?
Yeah. You know, we have. We have our Cookie Monster, Jasmine Milk Tea, we have our churro flavor, we have cookie butter.
Yeah,
we're always dropping a lot of new crazy things all the time.
Yeah, and then their signature thing is called the Milky Bun, and it's like two like donuts, right?
Yeah,
and it's like ice cream.
It's like our new version, like we're like the new version of the ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, that Milky Bun was, you know, we came at a good time where, you know, food Instagram wasn't popular yet. It came around the time the Cronut just came out, and the Ramen Burger, and those are things that are in New York, and New York is popping off on food news, and then we were like the right after that. We were the first one on the West Coast, and once we did that, you know, we popped off literally like overnight, wide down the block. We're filming with every single news station for the next few months in a city called Fountain Valley that no one even knew, and wide down the block every single day.
And then you started scaling, and how long did it take to scale?
We opened our second location 11 months later in Chino Hills. As a test, we didn't know it was going to do well or not. You know, we're like, maybe we got lucky the first time, it might not work yet. But our second store happened to do better than our first. Mm-hmm. So we're like, okay, we have something here, so let's continue to grow this brand. Mm-hmm. And so then after that, we moved another second store, the second year, we moved 3-4 stores. We're in our fourth year now. We're at 22 stores now.
You have one in San Diego.
And one, yeah, Pacific Beach, San Diego.
And then I know you collaborated with Randall with it. So how did that happen?
We've known Randall for a while now. Since we first opened the store already, he used to come down the store and eat all the time. He actually also used to know the brand I'm King, so that's why me and him had a good connection. So I'm tying together fashion and food. Yeah. It's pretty easy for us to do. Obviously, we did it in a weird way. We're the cheat day every day. It's like poking fun at fitness still.
Yeah.
We're both having fun with it. Just doing our thing, and we have a good relationship. So
it's cool. Because you guys are both like, you grew up as Asian Americans, and you also kind of like form your own path in life.
Yeah.
And then you collaborate.
Yeah, we see. Yeah.
For you, like, I don't know, after it's not just like, you're not just there to sell ice cream, you're there to like create a community, like a movement, like, almost like a movement.
After, when you go into an after store, the after store kind of tells, it tells our story, you know, it tells the story of who we are and what we're about. Mm-hmm. From you know, even when we opened our first store, you know, you notice the store, it's black, you know, black and white, you know, which is not normal for an ice cream store to be. But at that time, you know, we're in the approach of like fashion and design, and we're coming into like, okay, well, this season, you know, minimalism is on fire right now. You know, Chanel, black and white
trends, huh?
Yeah, so we're, you know, that's how we're dressing at the time. So we're like, okay, well, we're gonna make the store all black. We're gonna do super minimalistic, like an Apple store. And we're gonna have these crazy quotes on the wall. We're gonna have, you know, EDM and trap music pumping through speakers. Sure. We're gonna have our, you know, we're gonna have really youthful staff, and we're gonna put, we're gonna make sure the ice cream colors are not supposed to, you know, the jasmine milk tea is not supposed to be lavender. But I was like, you know, what's cool? I was like, that, we're not using that brown color, guys. We're gonna make it lavender. Yeah. Like, why? I was like, that looks a lot better in camera. Yeah. If I saw purple, I'm probably gonna order that one.
It's like presentation.
Yeah, presentation. The blue ice cookie monster was like white before, and I was like, hey man, we gotta make that blue.
Yeah.
I was like, dude,
cookie monster.
If you see a blue ice cream, you're gonna try it. Either you're gonna be freaked out by it, or you're gonna try it. That happens to be our number one flavor by far.
Okay. So would you say that's like one thing that businesses, entrepreneurs, you know, is critical to success, like being different, being unique? Because like a lot of them wanna follow what everyone else is doing, follow the trend, but you're just kind of.
I think it's different. Like we're like, you know, we like to be like we're like the trendsetters. You know, people can be successful from copying and doing stuff their own way, but you know, we like to make our own defining moment.
Yeah.
It's just how we are in our personality. But our stores are built. We don't build stores. We build stories. We don't make product. It's a production. You know, it's a whole show when you come in there.
It's an experience. It's an
experience. You come in there. You know, you with the waiting in line, talk to your friends. Like a lot of people don't do that much anymore. Everything is through text and phone. This is like engagement with your friends and sharing moments together, taking pictures and hanging out. Interacting with customers and with our staff, sitting outside till midnight. You know, there's not a lot of ice cream places that are open till midnight. You know, we wanted to be a little different.
Yeah, provide a place for people to just come and just hang out.
Guys going to a club or something that you can go to after to hang out and chill.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, there's an interview, and then you guys, I think it was Scott, but he said, this is the quote, it says, "We were rebelling because Asian culture is so uptight. School was never for us. We were never scholars or anything. We were just trying to find our own way." And I feel like there's a lot of people who feel that way. You know, not just like Asians, but like just people just trying to find your way in life. Like, what am I here to do? And like, you know, what's my purpose? What's my passion? You know, we're all always on that journey, but I feel like for you, like, when do you think you found that you're like, okay, this is like what I'm meant to do, or this is what, like, you know, I want to do with my life.
I already knew I'm meant to pretty much help people with like my forever duty in life. But you need to be able to inspire people, and people don't listen to you unless you're successful or have done something great in life. So that's why I'm on this business path to continue building, so I can continue to inspire a large audience and get them to get up and do something, and they should be outdoing me in the future. They need to do it. They have to. You know, that you're supposed to leave this earth better than you came in.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I know you do talks. You have your nonprofit where you speak to kids and stuff. So, like, what kind of like message do you share with them usually, or like, what do you see?
You know, I share a lot of different things. I talk about like, the superhero theme is the main one, especially with the young kids, because that's what I connect to, and I'm still like a superhero geek. I'm always talking about, you know, surround yourself amazing people, and you surround yourself with bad people, you're probably gonna, you know, pick up on that bad chemistry. If you surround yourself around amazing people, you're gonna be amazing. Just into you to be competitive with amazing people. Mm-hmm. And you learn from it, you pick up different traits, and you add your kind of flair to it.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone, like, as you're growing up, you saw as like an inspiration?
There's a lot of great
clubs or following.
Yeah, there's from far away, this brand called LRG. Right, LRG. So the owner was he's Asian.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is like a hip hop skate clothing. And he was the only person I've ever seen wearing wrap chains, you know, a bunch of chains on his neck and blinged out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only 17, 18 at the time. I was like, this is crazy. Like, I want to be like this guy. He's not a traditional guy. He's not your doctor, your suit guy coming up. You know, he's a guy in a suit. And I was like, I want to be like that. If I'm going to be like anyone, I'm going to be like that guy. You know, and I actually, you know, I met him a few times before he passed away. But he was, you know, he's one of my teenage idols. Going, I was like, this guy is definitely not normal. Yeah, I'm going to be like him.
I think that's important to have, like, someone to look at and be like, oh,
even though you don't know exactly what you want to do, like, be like, you know, that's something what I want to do, you know? And then it gives you, like, a roadmap, kind of, like, to be that kind of person.
Yeah, for sure. So.
And, like, for you, what was the catalyst and inspiration, like, for you to realize your dreams, like, not just leave it as a dream? And what was the catalyst that, like, made you go for it? Or like, maybe not even just you, like, other people that you've seen, like, what makes them pursue and chase their dream, as opposed to people who just let it stay as a dream?
For us, or my circle of friends, it's like you see, it's so close in our circle, you know, like, everyone's, like, doing something, and you don't, you know, that you're like, hey, they're stepping the game up, we need to step our game up even more. And that's how our circle of friends, you know, our circle of friends, we all grew up each other since grade school. You know, a lot of guys are killing it, you know, like my other buddies, used to work under me as my sales reps, own 8 clothing brands now. They're doing 60 million sales. My other buddy, you know, owns a few brands. He owns brands with ASAP Rocky. He owns brands with Russell Westbrook, and he's working with them, and he's doing hundreds of millions in clothing. So it's our circle. You know, these are our circle of friends, and for us, it's like we need to continually figure out how to step up our game and do things different, and how to figure out how to make an impact within our community.
Mm-hmm. So basically, the people you're hanging around with?
Of course, just surround yourself around the best people. You're each other's mentor, you know? Like, everyone is like, oh, look, Andy's doing, you know, you see a lot of my friends in fashion have restaurants now, you know, they jumped into the food game now, and I'm like, everyone's like, oh shit, look, now you're following Andy. I was like, that's cool, I followed you into clothing before, you know, so it's back and forth.
So did you have a moment when you had to, like, assess your friend group, and you're like, oh, maybe I need to, like, you know, change, or did you always
I still hang out with my friends that I'm friends with since I was 4 years old. And I also still have friends that I just meet now, or people that, you know, that I see that I want to learn off of. You know, like, it's a good blend. You know, some to keep me grounded, and others to keep growing.
Yeah. So I want to kind of talk now to, like, social media, because I know your social media strategy is really good. Like, there's a lot of restaurants and, like, you know, dessert places, they don't really know what they're doing. But for you, like, what would you say is your social media strategy?
For us,
how to go about using it.
Yeah. For us, what we do is social media, like, we see it as it's a way to tell your story and express your lifestyle through it. For us, it's about being consistent, having high quality content. Having images that stand out to people, having verbiage that resonates with the customer. I think we've done that really well across a lot of our brands. That's why it's worked well so far. I've seen a lot of people do it, they don't do a good job. That's why it doesn't work. But we've done it time and time again to prove that the formula works.
What's the major, like, mistakes you see people repeating?
Their menu is so boggled down that, you know, it's like, hey, well, we don't want to see you play the spaghetti over and over again. Like, how are you going to shoot it differently? What are you going to do different? Like, how are you going to hold it? How you make it, like, how you make it look pretty? Like, how you make it where I want to eat it? Like, you got to play the spaghetti sauce on there. You're like, okay, well, this is cool, but whatever.
Yeah.
You know, us, we're like, you know, we're tangling it and trying to fork, and we're pulling it all up like this. It looks crazy.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, trying to make it look like something, like, damn, like, I need to have that.
So are there any you have, like, a lot of other projects going on, how do you manage everything? Like, how do you
I have a great team on board. It's a different role that I play now. You know, I'm more of the advisory side of things now. So I'm like the coach on things, like, you know, they'll be like this, and I'll be like, hey, well, this can you fix this and this. I am working on a lot of things, and I'm not around all the time anymore. You know, my phone emails, hey, we'll change this, and you check the margins on this, rework the food cost on this. We need to put this item out next month. We need to have a marketing campaign for this. We need the grand opening event here. So it's like a lot of phone and emails now. So I have a good team on board that handles the operational side, and I get to do the fun side.
But you built it all to this point where we could just kind of, like, manage and oversee.
Yeah.
Is there anything right now you're working on, like, major? Or?
Working on a lot of different things. I'm working on, you know, doing a lot of development in retail and real estate. So I'm back in real estate, but in a different way. But in a different way now, where I'm, like, more of a curation. And, you know, I'm like, okay, this brand needs to go here. this, you know, this needs to go here, this experience over here needs to be like this. So I need, you know, putting it together a lot different. Yeah. And owning property now, so it's a different game now.
Okay. And where can I have a couple more questions, but before, like, you know, where can people find you and like, learn more about you?
Instagram and my social media. Andy the Nguyen, you can spell it.
N-G-U-Y-N.
A-N-D-Y-T-H-E-N-G-U-Y-E-N.
Okay, so, and then Afters Ice Cream, and then, yeah, so I wanted to ask, like, the final couple of questions, like, was there any moment in, like, growing up, like, maybe in childhood that shaped you to be, like, who you are today, like, that's helped you become who you are today?
Yeah, I know, I've been around, you know, like,
good or bad.
Been around a lot of good people and bad people. Obviously, my parents, they taught me a lot. My dad used to be a sports bookie. My mom was like a caretaker for a lot of patients. And, you know, so I learned about, like, you know, how to take care of people and be good, you know, be kind to everybody. But from my dad, I also learned about how to hustle, what to do, whatever it takes. You know, even though that his job was not legal, you know, he had to do whatever it takes to feed his family. But he also wasn't going around being flashy and stunting. Making sure he was really smart with his money as much as possible. His goal is to make sure that we were taken care of.
Is there any like incident or story or moment that like you're like you know that really?
He got in trouble twice. He got arrested twice. So I was like, hey, I don't want, you know, I can't. Like, it's not. You know, I don't want to go that route. So I'm like, gonna stay away from like temptations of selling drugs or joining gangs. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm gonna steer from that because I've seen what it does and how it can really ruin things and destroy someone's life. So I was like, hey, you know, be smart about it. You know, see the drugs community when you're young, you know, people want to get you to help and join gangs and all like that. Straight, should I do something else?
And the final question is, you know, if you could go back in time to your younger self, like as a mentor or like angel or something, like what's like what piece of advice you'd give to your younger self?
It's tricky because you don't want to really
mess up
what happened to where I'm at now, because one little thing could change the entire outcome of where I'm at now. I'm in definitely in a really good place. I'm really happy with how life's going, and the lessons I've learned, like that I needed to learn, so I could value all those experiences. I could value how important each dollar is, and like, each dollar that you spend, you know, it's a lot easier to spend it than it is to make it. I would just let it go, just figure out yourself. Kind of just need to go through those hardships and experiences to get to where you are.
So just trust everything's happening.
Just follow your gut instinct. Like I've done all right, I've already been doing. Yeah, follow your gut instinct. Instinct will tell you what you're doing right.
Yeah, I think that's like a muscle, because like a lot of us like just go through the motions, or you go through school, we just follow the rules. We don't think about. We don't listen to ourselves. Like, what do I want? Like, what am I telling myself? You know,
yourself will tell you a lot of things. Yourself will tell you, like, you're around bad people. You're like, I have bad energy around this guy. I probably shouldn't be working with them. Yeah, like, you know, you're like, I shouldn't be around them. And if you are doing it, that's your own fault.
Yeah, that's true.
You need to, if you're not following your gut instinct, that's gonna lead you out that way.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks so much, Andy.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
Hey guys, so I hope you were really, you know, inspired by Andy's story and that you took something away from it that you could use for your own life. And remember, each of us has a superpower. It's just up to us how to find it. Even for me, you know, podcasting and running these social media pages, it might seem like I made it or I know everything I'm doing, but it's just I'm still figuring things out as I go. You know, I don't have all the answers. I wouldn't say I've made it yet, but you know, I'm still trying to find out what are the gifts and talents that I could use to serve other people and help other people, including yourself who's listening. So thank you so much for listening. If this has been helpful to you, this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you found us on. And also, like I said, you know, make sure to sign up for my free ebook. I'm going to teach you some of the ways you can grow your Instagram, how to network with influencers, and all of that's free. It's in the show notes, and just sign up with your email and I'll send it over to you. So thanks guys for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.